CrowPod contains language and themes which may not be suitable for anyone, but what is suitable for everybody is the great stuff from our friends at The Famous, iconic wear for bears. Go check out thefamousheadwear.co.uk. Great stuff over there. And if you want to win some stuff from them, scroll down, hit the Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes on this episode that you're listening to right now. We give away stuff from them every single month here on the CrowPod. So check them out, thefamousheadwear.co.uk.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome back to another episode of the CrowPod, and joining me, Shane, of course, Mr. David Edgar. Hi, David.
Where the fuck have you been?
I don't fucking know.
Fucking Todd and I have been sat here at Dex for 6 months. Got fucking skeletons and cobwebs and shit all over me. But he'll be here soon.
Oh, man. Hi, Todd.
Excuse me, how did you get this number? How? Who is this? Who is this? David and I are sitting there like skeletons in Indiana Jones movies that are clutching the artifact that needs to be pried from them. And then, like, Shane just comes in and rips it out of our dusty hands and says, "We have a podcast." And
we
then
have
the
a
Nazis
podcast
steal
to do. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, in the time since we've last done one of these, Todd and I have actually fucking hung out for a week.
I know.
Oh, across, man, two continents.
Mm-hmm.
How was NARSA this year?
Yeah, it was good.
It was good.
Up in Toronto. Mm-hmm. Which was
Thank you for
nice.
Saying that properly.
Yeah, I learned when I was out there. It was all, great place. I mean, amazing city. Mm-hmm. Although I did, this is such a CrowPod story. We've got months of them backed up, so people are just going to have to get used to this. But I walked into the hotel. The convention was at, I was like, God, this looks familiar. And everything. And I'm like, have I been here before? So I phoned my wife. I said, Sally, this got to sound like a strange question, but have you and I ever been to Toronto? She said, no, you went there on your honeymoon with your ex-wife. I right, okay. I said, listen, this got to sound like an odd question, but I don't suppose you remember what hotel we stayed in. No, I don't. I said, I'm pretty sure it was this one. When I went for a walk outside, I was, this is definitely, because I remembered like shops and stuff that were still there, like big department stores. So, but I can't really phone my ex and go, hey, I know it's been 14 years, but just,
right.
Was that hotel we stayed in Toronto, right, was it the Sheraton? Mm-hmm. So
see, if I called my ex, it would be like, so are you enjoying that Radiohead concert bootleg that we went to? Are you stole? Are you enjoying that? Yeah, how's that going?
Yeah, never a good idea, is it? You know, just to phone the ex out of the blue.
Right. Well,
just how's your life?
Yeah.
Everything going okay? All the things you said you would do once you got rid of me, have you done them yet? Oh, you haven't. Yeah.
Oh. Oh, look at that. How's that screenplay you were going to write but didn't? Yeah. How's that?
I remember you said you're gonna you would live abroad, but I was holding you back from it. Where are you living now? Glasgow. Right, okay, I get it. Right. Yeah, right.
You see, for Shane and I, that would actually be abroad. So that's, yes. So
well it could be Glasgow, Kentucky, though.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, right.
You, you could have said you were going to live with abroad.
Right.
Which would still fit the criteria and just seem right. Like you totally misheard me. But I found a great
in
hat.
Our growth, perhaps? Would that be
in our growth, yes. Our growth, yeah. And listen, you can tell you guys have never fucking been to our growth.
I've seen pictures.
Yeah, well, leave it to that. I've got a friend, actually, and he's retired. He used to be the guitarist of my band. He's retired. Mm-hmm. At 55, and he's all set and everything, which is great. Well done, saved up. And he said, I'm moving out, you know, somewhere. I want to live on the coast a bit. I said, okay, great, you know. He's big into fishing, right? He's one of these he can tell different fish apart.
Which, sure.
Yeah.
Tasty, not tasty. Kind of tasty. Yeah, tasty, not tasty.
Back, keep, eat, all that. He can do all that. Whereas I'm sort of like, right. Fish, and then there are octopuses, right. And then there are whales, and that's sort of my fish knowledge, right? that's where I have got to in my
Shane seat. Do you want to tell him or should I?
One thing we're going to cover, actually, just remind me, because we are going to cover that fucking submersible.
Oh my god,
probably the biggest fucking regret that I have when we were off air that we didn't get to cover this.
I know.
Proving once again that there is no fuck up a rich person will not consider blowing money stupidly.
For things for rich cunts to spend money on, killing yourself at the bottom of the ocean, pretty good for me.
If you saw that thing at a carnival on dry land,
I wouldn't get
it. You want to go in? Absolutely not. No, really, it's got a game controller and a button that makes it work. I'm gonna go have some corn. You know?
Not even a real one. It had a fucking $29.99 ripoff one. The one that you get, the one that you buy your kid to give to his pal in case it's broken, right?
Exactly.
Not the official fucking, you know, PlayStation or
Logitech or
something. That's who it was. It was Logitech. Brilliantly, right? Logitech's share price went down after
that. Of course it did.
And the Logitech CEO had to come out. And to be fair, the guy managed to just about hold in the absolute sheer anger that he must have felt. And he stood there and he went, of course it's not for controlling fucking submersibles.
Right, yeah.
Was it the Titanic? It's a game controller. And he was about that away from saying, what the fuck do you want? Don't use it for operating on people either.
I just love the guy, you know, like... Nah, regulation and shit like that. All that doing it.
All that's doing
is holding the ships together so that they don't crumple up like a aluminum can around your fucking body.
Yeah. my favorite thing was that when James Cameron chirped in. And,
He was like, nah, I told that fucker to stay out of that.
But my first thing, my first initial thought, and it was kind of like everyone's, was like, what the fuck does Titanic director have to do with this? And then you do a modicum of research. He fucking knows his shit.
Yeah, he's been to the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
Several times safely and back up.
Yeah.
But it was the other thing about it was, though, that it's like, he's charging $500,000, right? So, I mean, it's not like... If I get in something that costs, you know, me $500,000 for a 2-hour trip, I'm expecting it to look like something at Star Wars, right?
Right.
To have all flashing lights and all. Mm-hmm. And apparently you got in this thing and there was only room for you to sit down and you had to piss in a bucket. And I'd be going, here, chief, think of the stuff you could spend $500,000 on. And I don't do all this piss.
Well, they can't spend $500,000 on anything anymore.
For that amount of money, I want the submersible from the Meg. Right? That nice glass ball, the pointy little fins like out of Battlestar Galactica.
Ed Harris better be on this fucking thing. And
Thank you.
And the thing about it is I'm not one of these people who go, for the $500,000 they could have spent on nurses' salaries and all that. No. For $500,000 of their own money, they could spend it on holidays or fucking, you know, an island or something, anything, right? You know, get $500,000 worth of hot chocolate, right? And bathe in it and swim about. And I don't care what you do with it, but going up to what looked like a fucking McDonald's Happy Meal toy that, that didn't pass the safety inspection in China and getting in the fucker. No, and
you know, I would point out too, there's actually, I don't know if you guys remember, I think I sent you guys this picture years ago, but there's a can of Fanta at the bottom of the Marianas Trench.
Okay.
Which is still in one piece.
Sure.
Whereas this thing, not so much.
No, but here's the thing too. Like it's not just arrogance. It's absolute stupidity. Like when you're designing this thing and experts, when you're describing what you're doing to experts and you get the, oh yeah, stop. Yeah. Stop right there. Yeah,
universally, this is a terrible idea.
Yeah.
They got loads of emails from, as you say, industry experts, not random blokes, not regulation, not anybody that was a busybody, but just he asked for advice from people and they all said, no, it's a fucking stupid idea, don't do it. Right. You're actually hurting our industry. And he came back with, they would say that, wouldn't they? Well, why?
Yeah.
No, they would say that because it's true. Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, they would also say that because they're still alive.
Yes.
And they have done this successfully several times and they know what they're doing, right?
Yes.
And
you don't.
But I think there's something, there's probably a bigger question about, do we really need to do this sort of stuff till it's safe? And you get these guys that they always come and say, well, you know, he's an alpha male and he likes to go and push boundaries and stuff. And it's
right.
a fairly pointless boundary, given that there is a safe way to do this and you just chose not to do that.
Right.
That seems... But, and I mean, was the captain of the Titanic an alpha male when he went, fuck it, right, put your foot down, let's head into that iceberg territory. I'm sure it'll be fine.
No, it was not. I wouldn't describe it as alpha male. I would describe it as very stereotypically old school British.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Right.
There's I can't believe that there's going to be a block of ice that's going to stop us at all. No, forward ho.
Well, funny enough, I was...
Who's the guy who like kept leading expeditions? That was it, Bradley or whatever. Like,
yeah.
Like, all right. Well, the first three, I killed half my crew. This time, I'm going for the whole boat.
Yeah, we were talking about this with, you know, Captain Oates and you know, the ultimate sacrifice of there's not enough food, so I'm just going outside. I may be some time. You know that guy. And it's like, we don't really, we've only got the other guys on the trips word for that's what happened. Or, you know, or you know, they could have eaten them.
Yeah.
And when you come back, are you going to say, yeah, we ate them? Or are you going to say, he was so brave, he made the ultimate.
Yeah. He was so brave and lean and tasty.
No, and so... Don't go looking for him, right, by the way. He said to us, he goes, lads, it's my last will and testament. Don't send anybody out to look for me. It's the last thing I want.
Right.
I don't want my body recovered. I just want to. And he was so brave. Because you're hardly likely to come back and go. He was a, you know, to use a Blackadder line, he was a second-rate explorer, but a first-rate third course. You're not going to say that. You're going to say that he made the ultimate sacrifice. You're not going to say that you were all sitting about in the igloo, kind of elbowing each other, going, right.
Right.
Like, when he turns around, you get the steak tenderizer, right?
Right.
You get that fucking fire on, and let's go.
You get the five spice and some butter. And
where's the cumin? Have we got cumin?
You're not going to do that, are you? You're going to fucking say he made the ultimate. You know, it's like that South American rugby team. They were clearly exhibitionists, because when you come back, you don't go, we had to turn to cannibalism. And even then, the press, where people say that we don't ask tough questions. Well, surely in that press conference, you go, you'd been stranded for 11 minutes.
It's, right.
You know, and the guy's like, well, yeah, but the airplane didn't have any peanuts when we took off.
Right.
So we were all starving at that point anyway.
Weren't they like when it came to pass, weren't they like a half hour walk from a Wendy's or something? Like
it was probably just a Howard Johnson's.
Right.
Middle of nowhere, you know.
Oh, I wanted a Red Roof in.
Yeah. I'm not having this at all. But that was one of the good things about going to Canada, you know, America light, of course. And I love the food. When your whole continent, but portion control's just not something that's landed over there as a theory.
No,
yet, has it? If you go into these little places, right, and it's lunchtime, and you say, "Can I have a burger?" And I'll take the fries. And the guy's like, "No problem at all. Hang on a minute. We're just going to dig the trench that we're going to put the fries in."
Here's 2,400 calories.
Yeah,
right.
You know, so obviously, for your beef burger, you'll be wanting the beef to be the size of three large cows.
Well, David, I don't know if you've noticed, but the whole like middle interior of the continent is just filled with cows. So we have to
cows and corn,
but not buffalo.
Yeah. Well, no, there's some discretions over that.
I mean, don't get me wrong, it's all very pleasant and all, but Jesus. And then this week, I've been in Geneva. I went to
That's right.
Yeah. Right.
How was it?
Heidi lied. Right. It there's no mount. Well, there are mountains, but they're way in the back. Right. Mm-hmm. No cuckoo clocks.
Right.
None. I didn't see a single fucking cuckoo clock when I was there. Okay. 3 days. Right. And it was roasting. It was like 32 degrees. I felt so stupid. Fucking stood there in my dungarees. You know what I mean, this is not the Switzerland I had in mind, right?
No one has ever said this phrase. I'm going to Switzerland. Better pack shorts.
I had to buy some when I was there, right? And it's like fucking hell, it's bastard and roasting here. And I'm wondering about sort of, and like in the back, it's very beautiful in the background. You know, there's all the mountains and stuff. So I was like to one of the Swiss guys at the hotel. So like, how do you get out there? He's like, do you know, I've never been. And it got me thinking, it's true, you do that, don't you, if you live somewhere? There might be the most amazing thing available.
Well, I used to live, like, literally on the edge of the Smoky Mountain National Park, and, you know.
Do you never go?
Because, whatever, it's my backyard, I don't know.
Right. Living in Toronto, you never go to the CN Tower, you know, it's or Casa Loma or any of those fun spots, but, yeah. You only do it when you've got friends that come out of town and go, let's go up the tall thing. I'm like, okay, fine, we'll go up the tall thing.
Yeah, I remember when we went to visit my family in Northern Ireland and my mum said, I'd like to see the Giant's Causeway. And my uncle Adrian went, why? It's just a bunch of big fucking rocks. Can you imagine? I wonder if you had relatives in Nevada. And it's like, I'd like to see the Grand Canyon. Oh, it's just a big hole in the ground.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, it's also in Arizona, but, you know.
Right.
I love... Is it? I thought it was in Vegas, and Vegas is in...
No.
Is it Vegas in Nevada?
Vegas is in Nevada.
Right,
the Grand Canyon is
in Arizona.
Right.
Well, that's fucking stupid. They should sort that out. Right?
Okay, well, we'll make a call.
I'm glad I pointed that out.
See, David, it's kind of like how Newcastle is in England, despite being relatively adjacent to Scotland.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
See how that one works.
We dodged a bullet there. Let's be fair.
Did, yeah. What I'll always remember about my trip to the Grand Canyon was that when we got into you got into the helicopter and you put on the headset, right? Mm-hmm. And there was music playing. And first of all, there was some country tune, some fucking, you know, like, you know, don't mess with Jesus.
Right.
You're like, right, okay. But the next tune that came on was Die Young by Kesha. Now, I don't fucking want to be getting in a helicopter for the first time in my life to hear Die Young by Kesha playing. Fucking terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. It was like, you know, is this a hint as to my future prospects? Mm-hmm. And then my wife very kindly saying, you're too old to die young now. And I was like, well, even so, it's die any age wouldn't be a great song either that I'd want to listen to right about now.
Right. It's like if you get if you pick up a woman and she takes it back to her place and she's getting everything nice and ready and she just, do you want some music? And go, oh yeah, sure. And she flicks on the radio and all you hear is the song going, you're gonna get chlamydia. You're gonna get chlamydia.
She hasn't washed down there for days. you're absolutely, it's just, it's not the sort of mood setter. But we've got to tell, right? We're at the NASA dinner,
right?
And you were there for the dinner that night, right? Yeah,
absolutely.
That's the night you were backstage with.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah, Todd was hanging out with all the big knobs. You know. Oh yeah, yeah. Getting famous.
I was hanging out with the big knobs. I was very underclassed. I was.
Todd and Mark Haley. There was a special bond there. I have to say.
Aye, that's true. That's true.
Is there like a new strike partnership we've got there?
Yeah, exactly. He is the talent.
he's the formidable one. Todd,
I'll give you half a chance of dressing out for the Dutch women's team at least.
Thank you. I would. Because I was watching them and going, they really need a tubby center half. And I think I could fulfill that
role. You're not tubby. But we went in, right, and we do the formal dinner, which was great, and they had booked a band to play, right? And like a rock, but you know, a proper guitar, drums, combo. Mm-hmm. Now, the average age, I would say, of the attendees was mid-50s, would you say, Todd?
It's a lot of faded tattoos and compression socks.
There was a lot, yeah. Now, I think that so the band came on and the first song they play was Let's Dance by Bowie. Yep. And I was like, well, that's pretty cool, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe a wee bit out there, but you know, still a pop hit. Second tune they played was Love Song by The Cure. Now, if you are a Cure fan, that's a fairly deep cut, right? Yeah. that's not Friday I'm in Love. And then it was fucking Sit Down by James. And I was like, this is brilliant. It's a band who clearly have done, but the whole room had no bar, basically me, Todd, and maybe Gary.
Right. There was our table and another table. And everyone else is just, what the fuck is this?
What the fuck is going on here? And they were great. They played Devo. They played,
yep.
But not one song did the audience know.
Right. which is weird. It's so weird because they're not that far off. Like generationally, you would have heard this stuff, right? Like they did the Jam as well. Mm. But like I was with Gary from the Toronto Club. As soon as we put in James, his ears just perked up. It was like, oh my God, this. And so he starts scrolling through his phone going, I hope they do this song. I hope they do this song. I hope they do this song. And so like it totally, this is the thing too. I went away from that totally reignited and like, oh, I got to go listen to this album now. And Gary did the exact same thing. He was like on the club list for Toronto. I was like, check out this song by James. This is perfect. Oh, this remix. Like, it was so wonderful. Like, and previously there have been bands that haven't been great. But this one just like hit me right in the numbers, and they got the room as soon as they did Simply the Best, obviously, which I think they could have played three times just to placate everyone, and then it would have been fine.
They were an absolutely brilliant band, and they had really good taste in music, but literally four of us liked them.
I know.
300.
Like when they did Joy Division, I was like, I'm in heaven and everyone else is in hell.
Yeah, and it was a brilliant alternative to. Whereas I think we were all expecting, you know, a wedding dance the night away by the Mavericks, right?
Yeah, right.
And that sort of thing. And instead we got that. But more power to the rail. But good booking. I don't think they'll have them back next year. But
absolutely not. No.
It's a real shame. But yeah, that's been my travels. I'm not going to Eindhoven this year because we've got three guaranteed trips to
somewhere.
Either the Europa League or the Champions League.
Right. Yeah.
Let's face it, the Europa. On current form.
We got a big match against Greg tomorrow. So let's worry about that one first.
Right? Well, to put it in context, did you see the press conference today?
No, what happened? No.
Neil Banfield and Rabbi Matondo.
Okay.
Now, if
interesting choices.
If that doesn't tell you quite the status of this match in the eyes of Rangers, then I'm not really sure they could have made it much clearer
Gonna right. Pass Dougie Emery's side here.
We are.
Excuse me, ma'am. Who are you? I'm the tea lady. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Brilliantly, they've decided to show it live. The company that has the rights, they always show mm-hmm. Rangers or Celtic on the grounds that it's a guaranteed audience, and commercially right. it makes sense. But under no fucking circumstances is Rangers at home to Morton the tie of the round. I'm well, sorry, I'm a Rangers fan.
Is that 12:30? Is it 12:30?
It's a 12:30, yeah.
Yeah.
And it, so I gotta get up at fucking 6 o'clock in the morning on a fucking Saturday. Mm-hmm.
I'm absolutely delighted though, because tomorrow night at like 5:30 and then 8:00, there are two really good English games. I think it's Man United Tottenham at 5:30 and then Man City Newcastle at 8:00. So clearly they've just decided to let us all go back and watch it. So that was quite nice. But then it'll be slightly bigger on Tuesday night, I'd imagine, with PSV returning.
And again, don't forget there's the big Women's World Cup final between now and then, which I'm sure,
of course,
I will I'll fall asleep 15 minutes into.
I'm taping it, but you know,
I'm not even. It is nice having like football on at 2 a.m. Like that's because you know you wake
that would
up,
be perfect.
Like, there's nothing on TV, and you can just flip over, and there it is. And it's like, okay.
Yeah,
now I can go back.
Well, what I've been quite enjoying is that there's the 100, the cricket tournament, the kind of, you know, and I have to, it's quite a controversial thing because it's TikTok cricket, basically, right?
Okay.
And I've quite enjoyed that. Although, of course, a bit of a kerfuffle on the old Twitter. Did you notice with the Timbs when I went to the Ashes to see England play Australia?
Okay.
Post a picture, me and young Ross for the pod. There was four of us there, and we had on England jumpers. The reason being, England are Britain, basically, right, at test level. So when I was growing up, if you wanted to play at that level, then that was the team that you followed, right? You know, so you picked. And there's loads of Scottish England fans. I wouldn't cheer them on at other sports, but this is, you know, the one that I do. And Celtic fans, why aren't you supporting Scotland? Because they don't play the Ashes, mate. Yeah, but yeah. Why aren't you supporting Scotland at cricket? Because they don't play test cricket, mate. They're not a test nation. It would be very difficult for me to support them seeing they don't play it.
Right. And since you're a Celtic fan, why don't you support a Scottish club?
Well, there you go, if we're going to be talking about... But that was quite fun, I've got to admit, to go down and spend a couple of days. Because the difference between the crowd in terms of social status at a cricket match, you've either got, you know, Sir Hugh Cholmondeley Warnedley Smith, the fifth Earl of the Duchy of Fanny on the Thames, right? Or you've got these really rough arsed Yorkshiremen, right? Who basically live on, you know, like, you know, mushy peas and pies as a diet. And the contrast. So on the one hand, you had these spiffing good shots, fine shot, don't you know? And then you had these other guys standing up and shouting at the Australia captain, "You're a fucking wanker." So it was Britain in microcosm. I felt, you know, just hands across the barricades. What's been going on in that America then, Shane? Has it got any more sensible since last we spoke?
Well, we're just indicting people constantly, and I have no idea. Hawaii's on fire, you know.
The one
place in the country that you think shouldn't be on fire.
Exactly. Like half of Canada's burning, and then suddenly Hawaii has entered the chat. It's like, oh no!
Hawaii fire! Oh,
yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Well, it was good while we
yeah, it was good while
to come
lasted.
Back here, everybody.
Since we've been here, I've been to Just for Laughs this year, and I went to two concerts. One you guys might be interested in is English Beat.
Oh yeah,
saw them. Yeah. They came to Ottawa. Okay, so it's English Beat or Dave Wakeling and Friends, effectively. Like, there's very few of the there's
original
him and. I think it's literally, he's really doing like a David Gedge wedding present type thing. But it was fantastic. It was great seeing that band again for the time. But I will say this, Dave has really, like, they've been together as a band for like 30, 40 years now.
Yeah, well,
at least he has. Yeah. You would think his stage banter would get better with years. Before we do this next song, I just want to say sometimes when you go to a circus, you see really, really happy clowns. This song's not about that. Here's Tears of a Clown.
Oh, God.
You get some fantastic... like, it depends, though, and I've had this sort of debate about when you go to a gig, do you want it to be a unique experience, or do you want the same show that everyone else is getting because, you know, you know, you want the same set list? Do you want...
Right.
And I've seen bands that I've, you know, I've maybe followed about, and the stage banter doesn't change. Yeah. And it's literally, you know, the set list
The same. I mean, that's, they rehearse it just like they rehearse their
Song. Yeah, and it's the song, and then they say, and I get that to a degree, because their argument is, well, listen, it's okay, you're following us around and seeing six shows, but why should person in, you know, Manchester get a worse gig or a different gig or one that they don't than someone in London gets, and then why should someone? And so I kind of understand that. The time that it really hit home me, though, was I went to see Meatloaf, right? Oof. My mum is a huge Loaf fan, and sentimental. Meatloaf and Billy Joel for me were my mum played as a kid, so there's, you know, lovely memories attached to both. So I took my mum to see Meatloaf. And it was everything you'd want it to be. There was like 50 foot inflatable, like during Paradise by Dashboard Light, this massive inflatable comes up when it's quite clearly a young lad feeling a girl's tit, right? And he's got, and there's like rocket ships going off and stuff and pyrotechnics, and it's great. So he sits down to sing Heaven Can Wait, and he tells a story about when he met Jim Steinman. And, you know, he played him this song and he started weeping and he's like, I'm sorry, it's this is such a beautiful song and it affects me so much. And I thought, oh my God, right. And you're totally sucked out of performance. And I was telling people about this and then they sent me clips like, yeah, he does it every night. And it's fucking moment. I was like, you bastard. But equally, had I just seen the show and didn't know, I would have, you know, what an affecting, incredible moment. So it's quite a tough one to say what's the right thing to do, what's the wrong thing to do. You know, do you really want to go there and they don't play a couple of the big songs because they play some new stuff? Some people would prefer that, some not so much.
It happens in comedy all the time. Like when your initial bubble, like when you're starting out in comedy and you're like, you know, you have 5 minutes and it still sucks. And you're just, you know, doing as many shows as you can. And when you finally, you get into a club and you're watching back-to-back shows and then you realize that the headliner is doing the exact same set. And it's like, oh, you can do that. like Norm Macdonald famously did that. He was when he was starting out, he would show up at the Ottawa Club and, you know, do new material every single week. And it was good. You know, it wasn't blow the doors off, but it was like, in a lot of cases, it was like really, really strong and good, which is why he was amazing. And someone finally pulled him aside and said, you know, Norm, you can work on your jokes. You don't need to do new stuff. Oh, really? I didn't know that. but my favorite thing is like when there's that feigned spontaneity in a show, like where you see a guy on stage and suddenly it looks like something has happened spontaneously. Like he's like, like he accidentally hits himself with a mic. Oh my God, I can't believe that happened. It's like, oh geez. And the crowd is going nuts and he's destroyed. And then, you know, the 10:30 show, he hits himself in the mic again. Like, oh, for fuck's sake, honestly.
I think that it's for the bigger comedians where they are, you know, doing arenas, I think they kind of tend to stick fairly rigidly from what. But if you're doing Edinburgh, as you say, you're doing a matinee and you're doing an evening show, then you're probably going to get it's the Fringe is on at the moment. And Martin, one of our podders, he went to see a guy, excellent, thoroughly enjoyed him, but he says he's a Tottenham fan. And at one point, he just stopped midway through the set and went, never thought Harry Kane would leave. He's in the air right now, which he was, you know, flying to Germany. So I saw it in Sky Sports. He said he just kept stopping every 20 minutes and going, we all thought he'd sign a new deal. And I think something like that is brilliant because it's that day, that moment, you know, you are seeing a unique show that he could never replicate because he couldn't do the he's in the air right now.
Right. Line.
I think there's something. But it is an interesting thing because Billy Connolly used to, he said he'd have like set pieces, but it was almost like he had, you know, bullet points in his head and he would just work off that, which he could do. And Eddie Izzard said that was a big influence. He does that. But you got other comics that are like, no, I need to know.
Right. There's a very specific wording that I need. Yeah. It's like there's points in the set like basically as you're crafting the joke, your mind kind of like forges the path through the forest and like, okay, so we went this way, it didn't work, we went this way. And then eventually over time you kind of wear the path down and go, this is how I'm going to go. But there still should be room to be able to
space
and have spontaneity and that sort of thing. Speaking of spontaneousness in shows, the one of the times I saw Radiohead, in fact, the one that my ex-wife stole the CD of, they were in the Rogers Center, which has nothing but advertising all over the place. Yeah. So throughout the entire show, it's just, this next song is brought to you by Wendy's, and then they would do the song. It's like, this next song is brought to you by Rogers Cable. And then it's like, they're singing Iron Lung for fuck's sakes. Just like, beautiful.
I went to see a lad from your neck of the woods, Bare Naked Ladies.
Oh yeah.
He's a huge fan. And they played the Barrowlands, which they've long said is their, you know, favorite gig venue. And they were doing little sort of made up songs on the spot about certain landmarks within the Barrows, right? And the Barrows has never changed in the time that I've been going, and people have been going longer than me, says it's still the same. It's got the same fucking posters up on the wall. It's got the same, it looks like something from the 1960s because it is, right? Like, any time that they've ever kind of even just vaguely put out, we were thinking of doing a refurb, there's like letters of, you know, protest that's, do not fucking touch it, okay? It just,
right.
Yeah, as opposed to, you know, like what we do with places like the CBGB, and that's a like a high-end
ladies
clothing store now.
We will maybe allow you to put a new poster up in the downstairs bar, but that is as much as we're willing to do.
David, just look how quickly we get rid of stadiums, right?
I mean, that's true. I'd build them again, to be fair.
Yeah. We throw them right back up. Milwaukee's already talking about like replacing their baseball stadium, which opened in 2001.
Right.
I was
in the one before that one, and it was
county,
still okay.
County was awesome.
County Stadium was great.
I love County Stadium.
To your point, Shane, about CBGBs. I was working in New York at one point. I was just like, oh, I'm going to walk home. And I walked past and like saw this crowd kind of outside this place, and it was like, you know, like midnight or something. And I was like, oh my God, this is CBGB's. And I was like, I've never been there. And I'm just thinking like Ramones, Talking Heads, Blondie, like, holy fuck, this place is fucking amazing. And the bouncer's there, and he's just, as people are spilling out because the show's done, and I'm just still wearing like my fucking work clothes at the point, which is like, you know, your brown khakis and a dress shirt. And I'm just like, can I go in, sir? And he just looks at me and goes, yeah, go. And I walk in and look at the place, and I see the stage, and I just, my first thought was, wow, this place is a shithole.
That's what you want, though. I mean, I always like the idea because the Barrowlands is in the East End of Glasgow, right? And, you know, I'm obviously a bit biased against that particular part of the city, given who lives there. Yeah. But it does look like a fucking war zone outside it. Yeah. And I always love the idea of bands from the US are coming over. And, you know, they're parting up. And on the Saturday, there's the market at the Barrows where, you know, you can buy a whole host of illegal product and tchotchke and shite that you don't need. So I always love the idea of bands getting there. Oh, we're playing this famous venue in Glasgow. Oh, man, it's going to be so cool. When they get there and they're like, hang on a minute here, right? has everyone had their shots? Because they're not fucking touching anything here before I go into it. But we've got a concert venue now, of course, at Ibrox, New Edmiston House.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which we
16 years in the making or whatever.
I should probably advertise it. We've got
five times over budget.
We have a show there December the 1st, Heart and Hand are going back. We sold out the last one, and I don't want to be arrogant, but I'm going to be, so clearly I do want to be. he sold it out quicker than anyone else has so far. But, you know, just wanted to mention that. But when we were going into it, we're sort of like, right, okay, I wonder what this is going to be like. But Rangers have broken with decades of tradition and hired people who know what the fuck they're doing.
Jesus Christ.
Well, this is it. They all came from the, you know, entertainment concert industry backgrounds. They all worked for big firms, and they all know what
they're not former Rangers players.
No, and the thing about it is, the thing about it is that it ran really professionally and
fuck off. I'm not having this. No.
And I was sort of like, they're like, right, we'll take you in here. This is a green room. And I was like, you can't call it that. Like, oh, of course not. Ha, ha, ha. Right. Uh-huh. And they're like, do you want, you know, water? And I was like, yeah, sure, of course. But again, with the downside of it being professional is they charge you for fucking everything.
Oh, of course.
Right? Yeah. I was like, to me, says, oh, I see you're doing standing. Why? I said, well, two reasons. One, we can get more in, obviously. And two, they charge you for the seats.
It's like, oh, for rental, yeah.
Yep, right, rental of the seats. Like they charge you right down to, would you like a water? Yes, they bring you water. And they charge you for the fucking
of
stuff.
Of course.
Yes. Oh, you know, fair dues at the end of the day. That's it's a money-making thing. But it was like just so, because we were expecting it to be, I can't think of another word for shambles, so I'm going to go with shambles. We were expecting it to be quite, you know, Rangers-y, and it wasn't. They actually, you know, knew what they were talking about. But Shane, yes, I did get that gag in. My opening line was, hey, welcome to Edmonds, new Edmonds house. You like it? Good, because this is why we didn't win the league the last two fucking years.
World-class venues.
It really is pretty good. I do like the sort of doommongers. People say, oh, you know, bands won't play there because Celtic fans won't go. I'm like, bands will play the cheapest venue that offers them all the things they need on their bands. Yeah. Bands from Minneapolis are not going to go, hey, we can't play there. You know, they are going to go. Yeah. Well,
Husker Du will play wherever the fuck you book them.
Maybe if they're from St. Paul. Yes.
Certain parts of New York, I'll grant you. Boston,
we don't want them anyway.
So. They will play whatever the best deal is. It's not going to bother them. They're just going to book the hall and do it. Mm-hmm. So they will actually end up making a few quid out of it. I think that's.
I got to host a show that I still haven't gotten payment for. Now that I think of it. Like a theater show in Toronto, there's a whole bunch of Scottish comics came over and they found my name somehow.
Scottish people didn't pay you. That's reinforcing a fucking stereotype right there, lads. Pay the man!
Yeah. But I will say this, it was worth it just for the experience because it was at a theater that I used to work at in box office. And it was this nice 500 seat theater and it was like really nice. And it was a union house too. So we're hanging out in the green room. It's like, okay, I'm just going to collect my thoughts. I have my own personal green room and I'm hanging out there. And then stage management comes by and goes, Mr. Van Allen, like hi. Yeah. Todd's fine. It's like, Mr. Van Allen, 5 minutes. And I'm like, that's perfect. And then they come back like 3 minutes later. It's like, it's time to go, Mr. Van Allen. It's like, okay, fine. And so she's like, you know, just a really pleasant stage manager. And she's, taking me there. We're just having a little bit of small talk. And then we're standing by the stage door and it's closed and she has her hand on it. She's just kind of staring into empty space as she's listening to the headset. And then she just briefly nods, opens the door, looks at me, locks eyes and says, they're ready for you, Mr. Van Allen. And I came just a little bit. I just a little bit of cum. And walked out into the spotlight to the applause and it's just, fuck me. So yeah, it was worth not getting paid.
I finally got on stage again for like because I've got buddies of mine. Well, they always want me to come out and play and everything. You know, about the only place like Mary's the bar here. Where, I've gone to see Bunny Carlos quite a bit here lately. Right. Kofi Baker's been to town a couple. Of Ginger's a kid, very good show, cool. Fun show. Finally it was like a Sunday night and a bunch of the old Chicago guys are all in town and everything. And I got up there and I got about 45 seconds into my first song, and I was like, yep, I don't miss doing this at all.
Really?
I got through like two or three cuts, and then I was like, all right, that's all for me. Thank you.
Why? Really?
I don't know. I don't know. You know, it's I still enjoy sitting there watching other people do
sure,
it.
Sure.
But I don't really get the same rush out of getting up there on the stage anymore, I guess. I don't know.
I found out a friend of mine retired, a comic here in Ottawa, and he was at the club last night. I had a show at Absolute, and he was here, and we were, you know, he was at the club, and I was like, the way they had timed out the sets is like they could have used another comic in there just to make up some time, so the headliner didn't need to do like an hour and a half. And right. So we're like, wait, Colin, why don't you go? He went, no, I retired. And then he left the green room, and I turned to the other comic that was on the show. I went, Colin retired? He goes, yeah. He retired after he died. And I went, what, on stage? And he said, no, he had a heart attack and he had died for a bit. And he's just like, he came out of it and he says, I have no more desire to do this. I was like, fair dues. Fair dues.
Once I tick a thing, I tend to, that's me. Done that. And So I can understand that, where you just go, that was good. Like, books, I've had offers from a publisher to write more books because the first one sold pretty well, and I was just, nah, you know, I've done it, it's done, I don't have any desire whatsoever.
Well, people, you know, it's the same like with the journalism for me, like, oh, you should go back and do this and this. No, I'm good. Like,
I think once you've, especially if it has been something that you wanted to kind of tick off, like the boys are always on at me to do more live shows. Yeah. They would, you know, they would do one every week because they get a real buzz off it. Whereas I enjoy it when it's done, but it's not something that I would be, you know, I don't miss not doing it, if that makes sense. So, it just,
well, you don't want to be out here being like the Stockton Rush of Rangers podcast.
See
how I tied that all the way back before we go to break?
I just needlessly
prioritized the listener enjoyment over commercial innovation.
Well, remember, I was seeing on The Simpsons an attack of 50-foot adverts. The next advert you hear could kill you.
Oh man! All right, quick break. This is mostly so I can refill my fucking coffee. So.
Oh, okay,
makes sense.
And now a word from ND Mattresses.
All right, we'll be right back.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, welcome back to part two of the Cropod. I can't remember how to do all this. I don't know. Go check out our friends, The Famous. Of course, everybody knows them. The famousheadwear.co.uk. Some of you people, I swear to Christ, I've been slowly getting all this stuff back together over the past few weeks. If you've been following along on x.com or whatever the fuck it is now. Some of the people who won like last fall, I think, was right when I started the first restaurant, and I think there's still a couple of you I gotta get stuff to. So I will do that and talk to Graham here soon, and hopefully get everybody all caught up there again. But of course, like I said, Famous Headwear, .co.uk. Go check out all our friends. And I forgot all the other people that I was supposed to mention here because it's been like 6 months.
You can add them in through the power of edit.
No, that would take work, David. And that's just not going to happen.
This is actually my day off for Friday, and I'm doing this. That's how much I know that people were missing the crowbar. And the best thing about this episode is it was great to talk to you and hang out for a bit, but also that people will stop fucking messaging me going, when's crowbar back? What I like about our audience here is that you're very persistent. Like, I wouldn't kill anybody if any of our listeners were investigating the murder, because they would fucking catch me.
Yeah, they would.
They are no stone unturned. It's just like, hey, David, I was having a piss earlier and I couldn't help but think about the crow pod. Oh, I'm not sure how to take that, but is it coming back? And we kept saying, you know, Shane's coming back. We think he's still alive. Right. He has hurt himself, yeah. I'm sure.
I can understand the taking a piss and thinking about us, because all you're doing is wrangling a bunch of dicks together. And there
Yay!
It is.
As long as that's the extent of the penis touching while you're thinking about us, I'm okay.
Oh, no, I would love that. No, I would love that if people were doing that.
Thinking about this show?
Jesus Christ.
Lenny Bruce had it right. It's an expression of love, you know. We say to people, fuck you, and it's a bad thing, but it's actually quite a pleasant thing.
Right, yeah.
You know, hey, man, fuck you. You know, and so, no, but Shane, they've put up with 50 minutes of this, and they're only really here for one thing.
Get to the injuries!
I'm trying to think of what all of...
Could you give them an update on your...
I've got a couple...
Condition?
There's a couple bone chips in my
elbow. Of course there are.
From when I fell.
Jesus.
Burned my leg on the motorcycle. You guys saw that one.
Yeah.
Which was really...
That looks
really bad. Yeah. Very bad.
It's I don't think it should bubble like that.
Yeah, it's mostly healed now. Yeah. But yeah, it was one of those ones where, you know, like it was, you know, leaky, I guess.
Quite destructive fire with the skin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was through denim too, which you know, when I want to take the jeans off, just kind of took all the skin with it. So,
if you hadn't had the denim though, I mean, it would have been right.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not. Yeah, I don't know. I've either got a broken foot or a torn tendon or something too.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, but it's my good foot. So, first time I've ever really injured that one. So, you know, we're good there. I probably got 5 or 6 more breaks in that one. So,
Kamal Shane over there.
Yeah, the Jordan Roster Rangers podcast.
That's it. Yeah, you do yourself a mess. I've found actually, and you're just on the cusp of this, young man. But I've found now that even little minor injuries, I'm noticing I'm definitely getting old because they're taking much longer to recover. Even just cuts and scrapes and bruises.
Yep, exactly.
In the old days, it would have been a couple of days. It's like 2 weeks later. I'm
throw a plaster on. That's
exactly. 2 weeks later, and it's still, you know, and you're going, hang on a minute here. That's that's not supposed to be like that at this stage. But then you've got to be careful. Although your body has had some amazing experience at recovery. I mean, it is an Olympic level.
It's true.
I think I've pushed
the limits of innovation though in that regard. I mean, like. You know, when they told me I needed a knee replacement at like 32, and I kind of laughed.
Jesus.
But now that I'm pushing 40, yeah, they were right.
No, yeah, you have to get it done. Speaking of which, right, my wife Sally, she's in her 50s and she needs a hip replacement. At some point, right? But it's manageable at the moment. But going up and down stairs, up especially, is quite problematic. So when I was away, 2 fucking days I was away for, but she said, oh, the upstairs bathroom's flooded. And I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake, right? Mm-hmm. So we need to replace the toilet unit in it. Right.
Didn't you just outright buy your home too?
Oh, she came away with
congrats, buddy.
Thank you.
what's the old Cal Kanane bit? Like, I rent, you own that. I'll call somebody. That's yours.
she came away with absolute belter. She said to me the other day, she goes, I think it might be an insurance job. And I said, I doubt it. Said, why is that? I said, because I don't think we've got insurance. She goes, what do you mean, I don't think we've got insurance? I said, well, I know that I haven't bought any. Have you? And she'd right. go, we're doing it. And I said, well, that was fucking stupid. Do I, in the 15 years you've known me, do I seem like someone who would buy insurance without something having gone wrong first? Mm-hmm. And she's like, right, okay. So anyway, she goes, right, I'm not going to sleep upstairs at the moment because, you know, going to the bathroom, I don't want to be having to come up and down the stairs. And it was like that Frank Lampard meme in reverse, because when she said, for me anyway, she said, so, you know, I'm not going to be, I'll just sleep downstairs for a bit. And I'm like, oh, that's terrible. Whereas secretly, oh my God. No fucking, no snoring, right? No turning right. around in the middle of the night and flailing arms hitting me.
she got the Jimmy legs? Yeah, what's going on?
No, it's the arms. It's, and an arm comes fucking flailing out and smacks me in the face. And no running commentaries as she goes to the toilet. As she gets up, go, oh my God, I can't believe I need a pee. Oh, I've stubbed my toe as I'm walking to the toilet. This is me in the toilet. I'm just going to sit. I'm going to have a pee. Oh, where's the toilet? Oh, right, okay. And that's the, she commentates on her way to the bathroom. But so I've gone to bed and just slept, and it's been fucking marvelous. But you're obviously not allowed to tell that, right? Because women get upset about that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That right. you know, that oh, you know, we cuddly sleepers and all that shite. So, no. But it was like, on the one hand, it's like, oh God, I'll miss you up there as I am belting up the stairs at high speed to just lie spread eagled across the bed. Oh, mm-hmm. Listen to how fucking quiet it is. Because you know, normally I sleep with noise cancelling headphones in, right? Not with anything playing, just with a noise cancelling mm-hmm. to try and fucking shut up the constant stream of noise from next to me. So she said to me today, she goes, I've got someone, he's coming, he's going to fix the thing on Sunday. And you know, that way I had to keep my face in a rictus grin.
Mm-hmm.
Great! Fantastic! I'm delighted to hear that.
There's still time to sabotage this, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God, the toilet's broken again. What? That looks like a hammer hit it. Yeah, it looks like that.
It looks like mice.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe one of the dogs must have ran into it or something wearing a hammer. I have. I've bought the house, and the thing about it is, right, that you get all these plans sent to you about starting, because this house is so old, right? The plans are like from fucking 1940. You should see these. You'd love them, because you love, you know, archival stuff. Yeah, and it's proper. You know, like the printing on it and everything is really fucking cool, and it's all written in big, expressive, cursive longhand. And you're like, when did we lose such penmanship?
Man,
you know, that's
I've never had it.
No, I don't. But
no, I write like a doctor. I just don't get paid like one.
Exactly. Yeah. You
know? Doctors are at it though, aren't they? They can write. They just choose not to.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I thought as much.
Mm-hmm. It's funny you mentioned the good night's sleep. I actually, my wife and I were sleep divorced for about a week because I came home with the new brand of COVID. So
that's right. Yeah.
I got the new one.
You've always been an early adopter.
Right. So it's great. I've great.
Missed out on this one so far. Mm-hmm. I think,
same, and so. I don't fucking want it.
Yeah.
No.
And everyone was like, you got COVID? I go, I hung out with comedians for a week. Like, that's going to happen, those reprobates. And so we had to sleep divorce. And so, you know, it's like, oh, so quiet. The dog couldn't make up his mind who he's going to sleep with. He slept with her. And then that's, just restful. So restful.
And you know, you're not allowed to say, right? But all the people listening to us, men or women, there'll be one partner who goes to bed, likes mm-hmm. the dark and the quiet, and lies there sleeping. And there'll mm-hmm. be one partner for whom it's a fucking Olympic warm-up as they go through every shimmy and shake and noise. And honestly, and their thing as well, right, getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, I do it as quietly as possible with mm-hmm. no lights on, right? I wait till my eyes adjust and then I go and I pee and I come back. No, light has to go on. Right, which wakes up the four fucking dogs who then all mm-hmm. start jumping about and barking and thinking it's time to get up and wanting to play. And it's like, do you have to do that every single time?
Right.
And apparently, yes, she does.
Mm-hmm. See, that's that. Okay, so what you described, that, so basically it's roles reversed. I'm like you. I stay quiet. So does my wife, to be fair. She drives me nuts, and she has this ability, and I just wish I had it. She'll be like, okay, good night, little kiss, and then she is out.
Yes.
She is gone.
Yeah, like, I don't get people that can do that.
We have a mattress company, and their jingle might as well be Sleep Country Canada, lie on your back and think about death. Like, that's all I do. It's just, I cannot shut my mind off.
No, I'm one of these people that'll be lying in bed and think, yeah, we say Cicero, but the Romans actually pronounced it as Cicero.
How you tall know? Was Jesus?
Yeah, exactly.
He's a short little fucker. You know? Yeah, they all were.
Why is every sea in Pacific Ocean pronounced differently? What the
exactly.
fuck's
right? That's a 4-hour job. Mm-hmm. That one. And yeah.
Well, see, I'm always, you know, pop the headphones in and listen to a podcast. And then, like, I'm on to the second podcast. And then they mention mm-hmm. something in the podcast. And now I'm on Wikipedia. And then, like, well, now my phone's not enough. Now I need my tablet also because I don't want to lose my place on this.
Right. So let me grab my phone. You shouldn't need to two-screen a podcast.
No. A podcast can be a gateway podcast into another. I do this. Actually, I'll put on audiobooks, right? But I've had to stop listening to ones that I don't know what's going to happen in. Because
see, that's the thing. I will listen to, like, the – yeah. Like – a Bill Bryson book or something that I've read. Like I'll just put that on and fall asleep in 20 minutes.
Fall asleep to it. Because if you get a book, because you want to know what happens, you know, you're like, okay, this is very interesting. And you're not going to fall asleep. Your brain is engaged. Whereas the whole point of it is to try to, or if the narrator is too, like, you need a really boring narrator. You need somebody who just talks like this and slow.
In university, I would fall asleep. I would put in comedy albums. Put him to sleep because then I would be able to wake up in the morning and go, okay, so how far into Dennis Miller's Off White album did I get? It's like, what's with the kabuki shit, Twyla?
It's like, okay. That's the other thing as well, because if it's a book that you do want to listen to, you wake up the next day and you're like, shit, how much did I miss?
Exactly.
Because you try to set the timer, but still, if you fall asleep like mid chapter or something.
One of the benefits of COVID was, like, you know, because we're isolated, I had my TV downstairs and my wife had hers up. And so, I really couldn't do much. So I was like, I know what I'll do. I will go back and watch movies that I fell asleep to. So, finally got through Memento. And by the way, not a movie you want to fall asleep in. It's like I fell asleep for 20 minutes. And I went, well, I have no fucking idea what's going on with this.
Neither did he. I mean, that's kind of the point of the movies.
And I rewatched Heat because I fell asleep in that that rewatch. And it's like, I forgot how good that movie was.
Heat's also like 4.5 hours long though too.
Yeah, it's like it's about 3 hours. And it just boils down to this one line from Al Pacino, which is the best thing he's ever said. And I love Glengarry Glen Ross, but this is the best line he has ever said in Heat. And here goes, big ass.
Yeah.
That's
apparently he improvised that, Hank, as earlier said. That's why if you see me I look shocked, it's because I am.
Right.
That he just did it and they kept that original. They're all doing that though with movies these days. It's all about how, like, have you seen Oppenheimer yet?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes.
No. Right.
Yeah, we were talking about this, Todd.
Yeah. It's a 3-hour movie about a guy who has his security pass revoked.
Yeah.
That's literally fucking it. Right. And, you know.
The thing about me, it's like what was the. What's his name that did the Enigma machine? Like, isn't it the same fucking movie as the Turing film?
Yeah,
like, you know, I mean, it's the same. You know, it's,
but the thing about it, it's an hour and 40 movie that somehow lasts 3 hours 15.
Well, it's because it's Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, exactly. But it's something you need to get, like, Chris. No, right. And the other thing is, I saw a trailer for Napoleon. Have you seen?
Okay. Yep.
Right, which does look fucking amazing.
It looks epic. Yeah.
But it's 2 hours and 40. However, I was thinking that it might be like Lincoln, where they take a specific part of Napoleon's life, right? And you know, in Lincoln, it's just about the 6 weeks around the Emancipation Proclamation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
it's a great movie and it works really well. But Napoleon did quite a lot of shit. And if you're going to try and get, and they appear to be trying to get in everything.
All of it.
In 2 hours and 40.
Right.
It could whiz bang.
Yeah, but I watched Oppenheimer and I loved it, you know, because I just like it was the spectacle I expected it would be. It was, you know, it had sort of like all the balance of like character and introspection and you know the policy that was around it, and you know how he was getting fucked over by the government. That was cool, but like it's every movie is just about the journey. If you can make the journey good, because there's just like 8 plot lines out there. That's it. So if you can make that journey for that plot line work good, one of the best things I ever heard, and it didn't occur to me until this guy said it, was if you look at the first Indiana Jones movie, it is one of the only movies that is out there where the main character has absolutely no impact on everything that happens.
No,
he doesn't need to be there.
Yeah, no, he's just watching it with him.
Gonna kill themselves. Doesn't matter. Yeah.
it's incident v plot, and because I have the attention span of a small child on, you know, absolutely on Eminem diet. So especially with something like Oppenheimer, where I know the story, I'm just sort of sitting there going, just fucking blow. Just
get to the fireworks factory.
The bomb. Get to the fireworks factory as quickly as possible. And I watched Oppenheimer and I was going to give it a good chance. But first of all, he didn't don any sort of crime fighting costume at all. Not once.
Okay, strike one.
Three and a half hours and not one. Two, he's a scientist, so he could easily have invented the Iron Man suit. Didn't even attempt it. Mm-hmm. Right, even have a fucking go at it.
Strike two.
Three, there's a lot of that actors get, you know, I call it Bill Murray looking sad. There's a lot of that where the actor who's trying so hard for an Oscar sits there, you know, looking, and it always just reminds me of Krusty saying, "But look at my range." there's a lot of that. There's no Mahoney or the guy that makes all the funny noises. And that means that's now something like 823 movies in a row I've seen since 1990 that don't feature Mahoney or the guy that makes all the fun. I'll let them off the Hightower because he's dead.
See, when you said Mahoney, I was thinking John Mahoney, and I was like, I got some bad news for you.
There was no amusing animal doing something quite funny.
Okay.
Which saves a movie. I think we would all agree. If you've got like a lovable dog, particularly a dog,
right.
That Eddie Murphy didn't play an amusing sidekick.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, I'm thinking, you know, Christopher Nolan, it's all there for you. It's literally all, it's all been done.
Well, and you're choosing not okay, to do my question, because I'm not going to watch this till whenever it comes up on Netflix or fucking whatever, right? Yeah. Does it lean into the fact that, like, you know, because the revisionist history of him is like, oh, you know, I've become death, destroyer of worlds and all this shit. Whereas the reality was, he walked around like swinging big dick when this thing fucking worked.
No. He's basically St. Robert Oppenheimer of the Latter-day Church.
Ah, yes. Not the guy who was
There's none of that. It's very much, look at this poor, sensitive physicist poet who invented this bomb but didn't really mean that anyone should use it on. And first of all, he didn't fucking invent it, right? He was somebody who worked on
a very good organizer.
Yeah, he was which you need. You absolutely do
you need your mid-management guy, but
They're very much furthering the legend rather than
it's the best movie about a project manager I've ever seen.
The person that they should be making a movie, of course, about, and Shane, you will back me up, and this is Truman. It's far more interesting, far more complex. But again, because Truman was such a decisive cat, there's not those opportunities for Bill Murray looking sad moments. So instead, because Truman was like, what's going to happen if I drop this bomb? 100,000 people are going to die, but we'll save 1 million US casualties. He went away, thought about it, and he went, right, okay, we're doing it. And then he never looked back, which doesn't get you an Oscar.
No.
So that's the problem.
Did you guys see All the Way, the LGBT LBJ.
Ryan
Cranston.
Yeah. I did. Possibly fantastic. The only presidential movie that includes the phrase, those trousers are going right up my bunghole.
Yes. But you, David, I want to go back to your list of movie improving things. Mm-hmm. I just want to recognize that we have one thing that will never be able to improve a movie anymore. And that is the inclusion of Alan Arkin. May he rest in peace, because he was just amazing in everything. But we still have Richard Kind, so that works. And we also have a Stephen Root. So we've got two out of three.
Yeah. I watched Office Space the other night.
Right.
And maybe it's just as I'm getting older, but he is becoming funnier in it. Oh, everything.
Yeah. There's nothing he's not great in. No, nothing.
Ricky Gervais and the creators and writers of The American Office should be taking a ton of money round to his house.
Yes.
For his book, because they nicked. So I think you have my stapler.
And also one of the best cameo appearances in Seinfeld. All right, here's the deal. You got a greeting at Star with an H. How's $20 sound?
The ratio of people to cake.
He was just so fucking good. Alan Arkin, when they were doing all the tribute to, and look, amazing performances, Oscar winning actor, deserved to be, some fantastic performances. However, let's not overlook his stunning turn in So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Captain
trying really, really hard to do for his, and it's the way he, it's one of those roles that's so good that you actually think an ordinary member of the public is doing it.
Right.
Because he gets in that awkwardness, and he's mm-hmm. not acting, it's actually just be. So when he says, you know, Captain, you never tell me that all the people down, like the mayor's fed up putting up my shit and you're fed up defending me. He's like, well, the reason for that is, you see, I don't report to a mayor. I report to a committee that's formed through the genius. It's like they just brought a bloke in from the council to explain this to him.
If you need an Alan Arkin fix, I cannot point you faster towards the Netflix show The Kaminsky Method.
People
actually think it's like a Michael Douglas series. It is not. It is Alan Arkin all the way, and just you'd lose nothing at him. It's like, why are you eating cheesies? Well, I like cheese. You know what else likes cheesies? Cancer. So
Todd, I know you quite like your old British classic comedy. It was the 35th anniversary of Red Dwarf.
Yep.
The other week. So there's been some various celebrations. And one of the things, I saw a documentary about it, and this one made me just wonder. Someone who auditioned and was close, but in the end didn't get the role for Rimmer was Alan Rickman.
Oh shit!
I know.
Oh shit!
How fucking amazing would that be?
Oh shit! I'm gonna be thinking about that all day.
He fucking auditioned for it and made it to like the last three, but they gave it to Chris Barry. But they interviewed one of the creators, and he said it does sound great. And you think, yeah, well, he said no regrets. Chris is, you know, and he's been brilliant in the role for decades. But he said he'd have quit after Die Hard, because he would be too big a star. He says, he ain't coming back and doing a fucking BBC 2. You'll love my sitcom.
I love those things. Like, we all know the Brady Bunch.
Yes.
Right? Robert Reed, famously the father, got to portray Mr. Brady. In the end, it came down to him and another actor, and he got the role, and a very disappointed Gene Hackman left the screen test.
Can you imagine? Fuck me, man.
That's a completely fucking different show, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Did you
ever, Marcia, what are you doing? What the fuck are you doing?
Did you ever see the 90s... movie of the Brady Bunch?
Oh, it was great. I love
it. Because they instead of just doing, like, they basically said, right, we're going to take the piss out of this.
And honestly
they fucking nailed it, and it contained one of my favorite, and it's now a dated line, but it was great. They talk about Marcia, and one of the guys at school just says, yeah man, she's harder to get into than a Pearl Jam concert.
Beautiful.
Which is just the most 90s line you can possibly think of.
Oh shit, let's do some questions.
Let's do it.
Since people chimed in. Hi everybody right. again.
Mm-hmm.
Of course this thing's not gonna work. Oh, here we go. Let's see. That's about injuries. We already covered that one. Michael wants to know what's more likely, Trump goes to jail or the US government confirm aliens are a real thing?
It can be both.
that's a mutually exclusive proposition.
Yeah, he's not going to jail. We all know that.
No, he'll be dead before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Let's again, look, everybody, Joe Biden's old. Well, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
So is Donald Trump.
So is Donald Trump.
he's like 6 months younger than Biden.
Why do people think he's in much
worse shape.
Do people think he's running? That's his get out of jail card. They will say they'll come to an arraignment that you withdraw from running, and we'll make sure you don't.
Well, it's also the thing that keeps the money flowing, obviously.
Oh, right, as soon as he does it, and it's signed, and he's not going to jail, he'll come out and say they stopped me from being a prick, but he won't do it. That'll be poor old Joe, though. I mean, fuck me. Honestly, Weekend at Bernie's 3 is a lot less fun than I thought it was going to be.
Let's see. Democratic leadership across the government. Now, let's remember, Joe Biden's been in government long enough to be against desegregating schools in Boston, effectively. So,
You love that over there, though.
Oh no! You get like Dianne Feinstein on the Senate Judiciary, the fucking sundowning over there, just like drooling and rambling, fucking incoherently. So
say what you like about us in the UK, right? We like our corruption to stay in each generation, right? And when they get old, we kick them into the House of Lords so they can go and sort of spend their time
We like consistency, man.
we're dealing with that right now to the tune of $8.3 billion going to two friends of our premier. And we can't do anything about it because he has a super majority. So, he can just, guess what I'm going to do today, folks? I'm going to shit on a bus, and you can't do a goddamn thing about it.
Ford family is just a gift that keeps on giving, isn't it?
Yeah.
Especially if you're a friend of theirs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Hey. Let's see. Robert wanted to know, what are the designers at Adidas been smoking while making some of the strips this year? They are pretty
oof. I mean, the Celtic one, the Celtic one is surely the result of a dare. For obvious reasons, I don't like the Celtic kit anyway, right? But it's a fairly simple one not to fuck up. Green and white stripes. Horizontal stripes. It's fairly straightforward.
It's kind of like when they fucked up the Newcastle one. Look, if we get, what if we made the stripes really big?
Right. Let's make it look like we're peeling away the shirt to reveal the lizard inside. That's what we want.
Yeah, it seems so straightforward to, not fuck it up. But I just think that big football design companies are bored, and I've got to give Castore their due. I think the Three Rangers ones this year are pretty smart. Mm-hmm. I actually quite like them.
Yet again, we finally get a decent third kit and immediately fucking ruin it.
And get beaten.
Exactly.
Oh, yep.
That's why I was glad that we. Another reason I was glad we got the result in Servette against Servette is that I really like that top, the white one, and I don't want to hate it because we always lose on it. But no, I mean, you're right, though. It's not just, I mean, the Celtic one is, the turd on top of the cake of shit. But some of their English designs, and it's like, guys, you're Adidas, I mean, here's how you make a classic strip if you're Adidas. You say, what are your colours? It's a red shirt. And you get a red shirt and you put three stripes down the side of it.
Yeah,
and you've got a classic kit. It's not fucking hard.
And yet somehow you've got 100 years of legacy. Of the Manchester United kit that they've done.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I got to say, I know it's Nike, but I quite like the new Liverpool top. Like, it's a nice throwback. It's very simple.
The 60s sort of return. So, I feel like I understand.
What? Oh, hell, there we go. Okay.
You cut out. What was that? It was like, okay.
I was trying to let David finish. No, I feel like I saw, who was it? It was Juventus, didn't they get the, and that was also a very, yeah, very poor, yeah, very poor. It's again, you can't fuck that up. Like,
yeah. The Milan one this year is an absolute horror show as well. I'm a great believer in home kit. Just keep traditional. You can be a wee bit more adventurous with the away. And third, go fucking nuts, right? I don't care. That's the one for kids. That's the one,
right?
You can basically have the TikTok logo on it for all I fucking care. Mm-hmm. But keep the home tops of these clubs, especially iconic clubs with iconic strips. It's not hard. But being a shirt designer for Adidas is just the best job in the world, because I don't know any other company that supply you with LSD as you walk in.
Exactly.
So, you know, good job.
You're only microdosing?
Yeah, come on. Drink from the bottle.
Just rip off four fucking strips, man. Let's go. We're doing this thing.
Yeah, it's like, and the guy sitting there going, the Celtics thought, I can't fucking, but it's been staring me in the fucking face. Snakeskin. And yes. All my mates thought, yeah, man, fucking snakeskin. the one good is it is so horrible that Celtic fans, and they may genuinely dislike it, understandably. So you're not seeing as many of them about town,
right?
Which is great.
Well, that's aren't the kids going back to school? I mean, that's why.
Right? Well, that could be. Yeah. But you're seeing less of them. So maybe there's method to Adidas's magic.
Sure. All it is like you walk in and on the whiteboard it just says fuzzy stripes, dude. And there's your plan for 23-24.
Yeah, you can actually have it is a bit like that bit in The Simpsons where he goes, why don't we call it Everyone Hates Raymond? That's the sort of level we're at with strip designs currently.
Yeah.
Mark wants to know, can we get an update on the kettle throwing over the Loudon, please?
Yeah, well, this has actually been a source of some contention. And I'm glad you brought this up because David Marshall, who boasted, and I use the word advisedly, but he boasted about his ability to throw a kettle over the Loudon. And he was challenged on this by people who suggested, because he immediately started to try and add in caveats such as, an empty kettle. Well, anyone could throw my dog could throw an empty kettle over the Loudon. That's right. No, it had to be a full kettle, right? And then he said, well, if it's full, what happens then? I throw it, the lid will come off. I said, well, we could tape down the lid. So there were, I'll admit, some technical issues. But yes, at the moment, the challenge remains unresolved. And his Twitter handle is @MarshallDave38. So should anybody wish to suggest to Dave that this disgraceful lack of any form of water boiling equipment being tossed over the Rangers pub that's situated just across from Ibrox Underground Station is cast doubt on his trustworthiness and his manliness, in fact, then I think that would be sensible.
So when is Finchie involved? I guess that's my question.
Well, he'd obviously been watching that, and he was very boastful. And and as I say, there was then some backtracking about, oh, well, it would. No. It's a full kettle. We will gaffer tape it up, right? Mm-hmm. And he said, well, what if it's a metal kettle? And I said, well, you know, if that's what you are presented with, that is, that's what you must throw.
You can only throw the kettle in front of you.
Yeah, exactly. And he said, what if I hit somebody? I said, well, we'll obviously prepare. We'll say to people.
Why would we be throwing a kettle over the fucking pub while there's people out in the garden? They're like, God damn it, Dave.
No, yeah, people will come out and watch them. We'll have a spotter back there, but we'll issue them with some form of like crash helmet or something to protect them.
Well, I mean, honestly, if you're standing back there looking over the roof, you're going to see the kettle incoming anyway.
I don't think
it's not stuck on the fucking roof.
That's where it's going. And that's why he's so far, you know, not, because the Loudon were agreeable to him doing it. So all the ducks are in a row, except so far he has not turned up with his duck hunting equipment.
David, I'll tell you. Stuart wants to know if man developed from monkeys. Why do we still have monkeys?
It's David Creation.
I think he confused this show for something else.
Is Dave a creationist? If so, forgive us for not having the answer.
Right. The same reason you can still buy a 1959 Mustang. You know.
No, you can't. There is no 1959. Sure, you are.
I'm a creationist.
Oh God. What do you want to know? How my time in space was with the? You know, I didn't even. Okay. So, because of Twitter becoming the hellscape that is, and I just don't really do Facebook, which I think both of you guys know. Yep. You know, I haven't really been as clued in on all the news I get off of podcasts and whatnot like that. I don't listen to podcasts, but they're like about aliens,
right?
Usually. So I really had no idea. And then, you know, now I've been kind of following the follow up on this thing that, of course, the guy who they called is insane. And the Congress people who called him are, well, similarly fucking crazy because, you know, they're Republicans. I mean, they're not trying to overthrow the government. They think it's run by aliens. So
right. Yes.
It's a strange world over here. I have no idea what, you know, the only thing I'm looking forward to in this country anymore is, well, we got like two more years till we try to go back to the moon, right? And that's really, once we do that again, we can just stop, I think. There's nothing. There's nothing left.
This is a whole problem because we're now in this fucking generation of people who've got sculpted beards and we've got Ed Sheeran and we've got shoes with no socks and we don't have jetpacks. We don't all live like the Jetsons, which we're supposed to by now. It's this lack of them. So no, don't stop at the moon. Go to Mars. Your colony on Mars. We were promised certain thing. I suppose I could kick it up a notch. I could do the sort of Elon Musk trick of saying, I'm going to build a ship that will go to Mars and then never actually do it. But people seem to give you money anyway, regardless.
Billions and billions of dollars.
Next week, remind me to have a rant about my wife's electric car, by the way. I fucking hate it. I fucking hate this thing. Talk about, the electric car. So when people, Elon Musk is a genius. Elon Musk is fucking shitty car that can't fucking travel anywhere without stopping.
Well, and I hate to, like, you know, even with the moon program now, right? The original one, Apollo, cool, you know, boxer, right? Artemis sounds like somebody that works at a fucking Jewish bakery, right? Like, this is not what you name the program to take you back to the moon and then Mars. It's just, God, it's bad.
But then again, we'll talk about a guy that paid $44 billion for one of the most recognizable brand name in the world and then changed it.
Yeah, exactly. Destroyed it. Yeah.
I do owe him a bit of thanks because, a bit like you, Shane, after years of sort of moaning about Twitter and participating in it, I use it for work now. I don't sit and chat on it the way I used to, because he has finally kicked it so far into the gutter that I'm now going, nah.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. And listen, if you're the kind of people that love Elon Musk and all the stuff that he does, then that's great. You have X and it's there for you, and it's actually worked out well for everyone, because the rest of us who were hypocrites because I moaned like fucking then sat there on it for hours, now I don't. So yeah, everyone's happy. He's got the X he wanted, and I've got more time to read books and play with my dog, so everyone's happy.
Exactly.
Great. Yeah. Less time on Twitter, more time listening to good podcasts.
Exactly.
Not like this one. Good Lord. Oh yeah, I don't know. I guess there you go. There's your hour and a half back. We're gonna figure out a schedule. I'm still not exactly. Oh, Dave, I forgot. We had to do one more thing. The White House plumbers quickly.
Right.
The guy that played Liddy was fucking awesome. Woody Harrelson, not great. You know, I mean, I love Woody Harrelson and everything, but you know, Thoreau or whatever the hell that guy's name is.
I'm kind of like you with Woody Harrelson. Even if he's bad, I still like it. So that was never going to be an issue. But the guy who played Liddy had obviously done his reading, had done his research, and fucking nailed him.
Well, and the voice was just
was perfect.
Going to kill Jack Anderson.
I am going to kill Jack Anderson, and it was all the little, you know, the clipped manners and the gestures and the he fucking hammered it. And people said to me, actually, a few people said, "Oh, David, you know, was this real? I take it they played it for laugh." I'm like, no, it was actually quite accurate.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
That is what they did. If you've got in your mind that this was some sort of elaborate, you know, amazing Secret Service,
if you haven't, you know, I've been rebroadcasting or re-pushing out the Watergate show from last year. No rhyme or reason to any of it whatsoever, and none of them know why they did it.
No! That's me.
No, nope, never figured it out, never will, doesn't make any sense.
If they don't know, how the fuck are we supposed to?
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely clueless. So, roll on tomorrow. I guess we get the return of both Robbie Crawford and Kirk Broadfoot. Is that what I get to look forward to at 6:30 in the fucking morning?
Mm-hmm. It is, yes. Yeah,
God.
And it's going to be raining.
Oh, beautiful.
So,
nothing like early round League Cup action to really.
We had two astonishingly
get me going in
this
season that I'm already regretting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God. You know, I don't want to end it on a down note, but I mean, you know.
Nope.
This is.
Hope springs eternal.
Sure. Yeah. So, yeah, that's it. Welcome back to the Crow Pod. Like I said, we'll figure out a schedule and everything. I still don't know. I'm trying to figure out when and why and how we're going to do all this. But, you know, here you go. You got 90 minutes back in. David, good talk to you as always.
As the actress said to the bishop, we're trying to ease you in.
Yes, yeah. I think right now we might do every other week just for the time being while... Mm-hmm. Because I'm gonna bring back like some of the special shit.
You don't need to justify to these fuckers, right? They're getting a free.
I know.
Right?
I was doing like fucking 15 shows a week there. There's no way you listen to all of them, and if you did, you're a fucking pervert.
God, I'm on 15 shows and I don't listen to them. So fuck knows what it's like for other people when I put them out. Yeah, fuck it. Right? This is all fucking. This is award worthy podcasting, right? Yeah. We should be fucking. When we die, right? There's going to be posthumous knighthoods. They're going to make Shane you can get a knighthood, Todd, because Canada. But you'll make Shane an honorary British citizen just so that they can give him a period. That's all going to happen in the future, and you're getting to experience it now as it happens.
Exactly.
You're the equivalent of people that saw Mozart when he was playing a small pub in Vienna.
Oh man. Like I said too, I've been putting the Watergate shows back out. I think I have two left I gotta go back through and pull some notes on.
Right.
But there's if you scroll down here, there's always the Buy Me a Coffee link and like all the posts are up there. I've been providing more context and information about the shows, including the one that got pulled from the interwebs during our hiatus. That honestly pissed me off more than anything because there's like 70 shows that just went missing and I don't know why, but fuck you, Spotify, you fucking horrible bastard company. Asshole.
Yep, absolutely agree.
Yep.
Pieces of shit. So David, of course, you find on everything Heart and Hand. Thanks again, David. It's good to talk to you.
It is good to talk. I'm glad to be back, lads.
Yeah. And Todd, of course, you can find on Twitter at Hey, It's TV. Hey, Todd, what do you do? David promoted his live show.
Yes.
What do you have coming up now that you've not died from COVID?
Right. There are some live dates coming up. You can find them at heyitstva.com/calendar. I have converted Comedy Above the Pub to a new podcast, which is basically a more compact version of Comedy Above the Pub, but it has the guests telling us their favorite street joke at the end. And it's called Okay, So Here's One. A podcast celebrating street jokes.
Oh,
so So, you can follow that on the Twitters and the Instagrams at oshowpod.com. And Shane, you're slipping. We got Onion and Reductress headlines.
Oh, fuck. See, again, no. I got you.
From the Onion, MLS parents complain Leo Messi too advanced for Suns League. From the Reductress, how to wrap your pussy in foil and put it in the fridge since no one's eating it.
I wanted to give you, I sent you this morning, but just in case you haven't seen it yet, from the Onion's politics section, about presidential candidate Ron DeSantis. pissing. I love to piss. Attempting to strike up conversation with voter in toilet.
I got the one this morning. It was what, Pope Francis appears 40 years younger after finally masturbating.
That's all it takes? Hang on.
I think you need to store that up. Fall down a bit.
I came down this morning and turned to the wife. Do I look younger?
By the way, that isn't hand cream at the side of the bed.
There's something about me.
All right, that's it. Like I said, I'll try to let people know on x.com or again, but I don't know what to call it.
Twitter.
The world has changed so much since Twitter.
It's Twitter. Listen, see, in Scotland, right, we give things one name and they stale at that forever. Yeah. So if you open a shop and you change its name after 3 weeks, it's too late. And it's the same. It's Twitter. It's always going to be Twitter. It's Twitter.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, it's like ballparks. You know, like I don't even know what the hell the White Sox Stadium is now. It's still Comiskey Park.
I'm not doing it. No, okay. I don't play by your rules. I'm like that guy in The Simpsons, you know, the guy they're waiting on the gun.
Rewells!
Yeah, I don't. That's us, right? When do we get the freaking guns?
By the way, that's the best introduction of Bill Burr into a cartoon I've ever seen.
I love it. In terms of one-off, we should do a show as just one-off great Simpsons characters, and that guy's definitely.
No, totally.
Definitely. Fuck it. All right, there we go.
We'll come back. Freaking guns!
We'll do that in 2 weeks. There we go. So that's it. We'll talk to y'all soon. Bye.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah.
You can't even fucking serious at all.